Good morning, everyone. God bless you all. Nice to see this house basically full again this morning, and I trust that we are all anticipating to hear from God this morning again. And I would like to greet you with the words that Jesus greeted his disciples after his resurrection. And he said, "Peace be unto you." So I hope the peace of God can be in every heart here this morning. But my hope also is that the peace of God will not be in the heart of someone that is kicking against the pricks this morning. But I hope that that heart will be surrendered to God's drawing, if there is someone here this morning. So yeah, very glad to be here this morning again in the house of prayer, and also for all the visitors and all the regular comers. I'm very glad that you can be here. I see there's some people missing. I know it's Easter weekend, so there's maybe gatherings. There might be some people sick at home, so God be with you all too. But before we get into our message, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for today. Lord, I just pray that you would be with each and every heart here this morning, that you would speak to us. May we be open to your message, and we have already heard richly through song, through the opening, and through Sunday school. So, Father, I just pray that you would bless those laborers that have worked in your word to present your word. Lord, we are just vessels that we want you to use to speak to us. And thank you for entrusting your word to mankind, that we can teach your word, preach your word. And, Father, I just pray now that you would prepare every heart for the message here this morning, as I want to speak about the resurrection of your dear Son. And Father, I pray that you would receive all honor and glory, and I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so today's Resurrection Day, remembrance of what Jesus has done, and so I felt led to share on it. And it has been going through song, even through Sunday school. So we have heard a message of the resurrection already. So let's start with, I want to talk a little bit about how Jesus foretold his death and resurrection. And with that, let's go to Mark chapter 8, verse 31 through 33. It's always important that if someone prophesies and if it becomes true, that we hold that very dear. And this is the greatest example, Jesus Christ prophesying about himself. So here in Mark 8, verse 31 through 33, it says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man." So here we see Jesus prophesying about his death and resurrection. He even says here that he's going to rise in 3 days. And here Peter comes on the scene again. And for some reason, I always have to chuckle or smile when I hear Peter, because he was always this dramatic guy. And whichever way, after he really got anointed, then you see how many people came to God because of his boldness, right? But he did some silly things throughout his time with Jesus. And here's one of them, that he rebuked Jesus. But Jesus rebuked him back, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things of God, but the things of man. What I want to draw out of this verse here, when Jesus rebuked Peter, a lot of times we struggle with how we want to say things. We want to say things perfectly. We don't want to offend anybody. And a big part of that is good. We're supposed to think before we speak or do, right? But look at Jesus' words here. He rebuked Peter. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." When it comes to the seriousness of God, that's what Jesus does. And I think we ought not to be afraid if we get into a situation where someone's just, I mean, I want to be careful how I say this here. We need to be examples of Christ. But what I did want to draw out here, Jesus was very serious about his prophecy here. And so that's why he rebuked Peter the way he did. The other thing that I want to bring out is that he says, you are not savoring the things of God. But he says, but the things of men. And don't we all deal with our flesh on a daily basis? There's a lot of times that tug that we want to be men pleasers. But let's take heed here. Let's be pleasers of God. Let's savor the things of God, and God will richly reward you. It's a guarantee. So here Jesus foretells his death and resurrection, and now let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, and look at the resurrection here. It is in all four Gospels, so I have chosen some out of Matthew and some out of the other Gospels. So let's all turn to Matthew 28. And by the way, God bless you youth for going out this morning to have a sunrise service. I'm sure that was beautiful, right? Okay, Matthew 28, 1 through 10 says here, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of the keepers, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not there, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, All hail. And the word all hail is a greeting that involves a wish for good health and peace of the person that it is addressed to. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. That's as far as I want to read in Matthew chapter 28 there. Looking into this chapter, the first 10 verses here, we see something great happened again. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the sepulcher, and this is the Mary Magdalene that Jesus drove seven spirits out of. And I thought it was just so special that she was able to be there as well to go witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can see, too, it is recorded here in Matthew, which we can see that Mary had a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene. Mary as well, but I just wanted to point out Mary Magdalene because of the kind of life that she used to live. She had seven demons inside of her, and Jesus drove them out, and now she's a follower of Christ. And then also, there was a great earthquake. So we can imagine, we hear of earthquakes, but have we ever even really felt a big earthquake? But here, the earth did quake, and the stone rolled away. So I can just imagine that it was not something just one man could do, is just to roll the stone away. And I'm sure they did that for a reason, because they didn't want Jesus to raise from the dead those that did not believe. So the stone was rolled away, and it says, where is it again? Yeah, the angel that sat upon the stone. His countenance was like lightning, and raiment white as snow. Pure, holy. Even the guards there, they did shake and became as dead men. So this is something supernatural that was happening here, that the guards, they couldn't even take it. And that is amazing for us as Christians today, just to see the message here that Matthew 28 has. And also, don't we as humans tend to grip to fear quite easily? And what does it say here in verse 20 or verse 5? The angel says to them, "Fear ye not." So a lot of times we run into situations in life and fear can grip us. And I really do believe that's why the angel said to the women that they should fear not, because this is something really dramatic that is happening. And yet, it is a prophecy that is being fulfilled. He is not here, for he is risen. What glorious words are they? The Son of God is risen. So it says there, he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples." So we can see here those that were near to Jesus, that both Marys were supposed to go tell the disciples what had happened here. But on the way, Jesus met them and says, "All hail." And then in verse 10, Jesus says unto them, "Be not afraid." You can see it again. "Be not afraid. And tell my brethren that go into Galilee, that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." Okay, so now let's move on to Mark chapter 16. We want to see here how Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. And so I want to read out of Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. It says there, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept." Here we can see There's a lot of mourning and weeping happening, and yet Mary wants to go tell him the good news that prophecy has been fulfilled. But just look at verse 11 here. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. In Luke 24, it says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I really want this to sink in very deep in our hearts this morning. Take heed, lest ye fall. I'm probably not saying that verse right, but this really sobered me up again, how important it is to have a daily relationship with God. Jesus was crucified, and the third day later, they don't believe Mary Magdalene. I do want to point out, though, unless God draws us, we can't come to him. So God is all powerful. But over here, the angel tells Mary to go share with the disciples, and she does that. But a couple days after his crucifixion, they don't believe what Mary has to say, where it even comes to the point that those are idle tales. So let's really examine ourselves where we are at today. How much do we love God? Are we living in his resurrection power? Do the people around us see that we are living, or that we are living for a risen Savior that has power that none other has? Do we believe? Do we actually believe? Can people witness from us, or witness to other people, saying, John Clausen, when he talks about God, I can see he believes it? It's very, very sobering. But yet we are all in the flesh. We are all prone. That's why God's word says the spirit always wars against the flesh. There's a constant war always going on. But the power of God can overcome the flesh. And that's what the world needs to see from us as believers, that we have the power of God living in us. When we speak words of power from God, not man. That we don't have swelling words that itch man's ears. Now, I would like to go forward to John chapter 20, where Jesus appears to his disciples. John chapter 20, 19 through 23. It says there, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And said unto them, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So here we see Jesus came to them that same day in the evening, and he did show him, it says, his hands and his side. So they physically seen Jesus, and that's when they believed. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. So Jesus came here and showed himself to the disciples, and they believed, and they also received the Holy Ghost, which is amazing. But I want to go a little bit further here in chapter 20. This portion of Scripture, Thomas wasn't there yet, and I think we can really glean from Thomas as well. So we're going to keep reading, starting in verse 24. Verse 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and my finger, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Here we see Thomas is serious. He says, I will not believe before I see. Are we not prone to that today? I think about that saying that someone just casually says, I won't see it, or I won't believe it until I see it, right? Well, that's what Thomas said here. But if we look in verse 26, it says, and after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said unto them again, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I'm going to stop there a bit. So here we see Thomas' encounter with Jesus. What did Jesus do? He let him do what he wanted to see. So what can we glean out of this today? Do we have to see before we believe? I know Jesus honored Thomas' words here, but he also says in verse 29, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Today we cannot see Jesus alive and see his prints, his nail prints in his side. But if we believe what Jesus has done on the cross for us, Jesus says here, how much more? Or blessed are they that have not seen and yet do believe. I just want to encourage us with this, that our flesh again would like to see before we believe many times. And especially when we come into an unknown time, let's say maybe a health problem. I know health is a huge one amongst humanity where we can fret and fear and But let's have faith in God that he knows best what he's doing. Just a little side note, we were just at the Good Samaritan clinic, and you see sick people everywhere. You know, some are more sick than others. But we met a lady there. We didn't know until we come back that she did have cancer. But she cried. No one likes to hear the word that you have cancer, right? But I was so blessed by her faith in God. She just was trusting in God. And that is a faith that is not seeing. You know what I mean? That is a true faith that, you know what, I'm resigned whatever God's will is for my life. It's easier said than done. I don't know what I would do if I would hear that I got cancer. But I hope that the Lord would help me during that time. So I was just blessed by her. And just knowing we met some Christians there, and just, you know, the spirits, they connect right away. That's that faith. We sense that we share the same spirit, and that's the spirit of God. That's another faith that doesn't see but believes. And we could fill in many more blanks of examples of what does a faith look like that doesn't necessarily need to be seen to believe. But yet God is so gracious with us as he was with Thomas. He honored his request at that time. And if we really think about it, nature itself teaches us that there is an amazing God out there, right? So God does, in part, show us through nature that he is a living God. So I'm just going to read the last couple of verses there in John 20. It says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Very comforting words here. The miracles that Jesus did, they can't even be contained in the book. But he did them. And yet today we have his living word, and there is many, many things we can take out of his word, and they can be comfort to us. And that's not just in the moment comfort, but it's an everlasting comfort that God can give us. I just figured I wanted to give out another example of Paul and Silas, how Paul was preaching, just as an encouragement for us. And I just have here, the resurrection of Jesus Christ not only validates his deity, but it also validates the Old Testament prophecies that foretold of Jesus' suffering and the resurrection. And with that, let's turn to Acts chapter 17. We're going to read the first 13 verses there. Acts chapter 17 says here, "Now when they have passed through," Paul and Silas here, "Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scripture." So you can see here, Paul is reasoning with them. "Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." So many, many hearts were changed here in this message again. He was there with for three Sabbath days, just reasoning here with the Jews. And there was not just Jews there, you can see here. There was some devout Greeks, and there was chief women, not a few. So many people heeded God's word as Paul was preaching it. But going back to verse 3, it says that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. So here was the core message that he was reasoning with them. Going on in verse 5 here, but the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on in uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Isn't this something that we have heard before, right? And you know what? Even today, when we were in Israel, when we were testifying to the Jews, we were experiencing, not to this extent, but we were experiencing to a certain extent, where the Jews are very set in their ways. And the ones that we would have talked to, they didn't believe that Jesus had even died yet. So that just gives me a bigger picture here now when I read these verses, because I had an encounter with some Jews. We had an encounter with some Jews. So going on in verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of that city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. So just going to pause there a little bit. We can see here that there was many people that received the word of God, and yet the Jews, they made a big uproar. And to the point where they sent away Paul and Silas by night, because who knows what could have happened. And yet that message is so powerful, but for those that don't believe, they just made an uproar like the Jews did there. They made an uproar. There's another passage there too when the Jews had heard, I think it was even in Berea, that when the Jews from, you know what, let me not get ahead of myself. I think it's the next couple of verses here. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. And then verse 13 says here, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul in Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. So what does that sound like for us that come from a Mennonite background, from Old Colony, let's say? Not here so much, but you hear in Mexico, what happens with a lot of those Old Colonies when a church is set up? I think it was in Campeche somewhere that three times they tore down the church building that a certain Christian group wanted to make or establish there. I just think about that, what these people did here. Like, why can you not stick to your own town? But they wanted to prove a point here that what Paul and Silas were doing was not right. And yet, the message of the message that Paul brought forth was so powerful that so many people became believers. But you can see the two opposite kingdoms here, right? It's so evident. And I don't think here in North America so much, or should I say here in Canada, but there's a lot of places on earth still where this is still happening, where there's such a division. And I just praise God today for drawing nigh to me, that I could become his child and that I can believe what God's word is saying here. And may it be, I would like to share a little bit of an example. We see here that the Jews are so dramatic that they got to let the whole town know. But sometimes when we secretly do something, we don't have to say much, but we just really reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we know that God is drawing us, how much better are we than these Jews? You know, sometimes there's something dramatic that happened physically, but what happens in the heart when we keep rejecting when God draws nigh to us? We're no different. We are no different. I know I did that for years. I knew God was drawing me, and I just always shrugged it off, and I'm so thankful that God never gave up on me, that I could become a child of God. So let's take that to heart. When God is drawing us, when God is purifying us, sometimes there's things that are uncomfortable that God is dealing with us that he doesn't want us to do anymore. Let's just heed God. And the closer our relationship is with God, the more people can be saved. What I mean by that, if we are a living testimony and are obeying the truth of God's word, people see that pureness, that our relationship with God can draw them, and God can draw the people as well to himself so they can be saved. So, if Christ is not resurrected, then what? Then we have no hope that we will be resurrected either. In fact, apart from Christ's resurrection, we have no Savior. We have no Savior apart from Christ's resurrection. We also have no salvation. The only way we can be saved is because of Jesus' resurrection. And we don't have no hope of eternal life. We are just a miserable people that have a vain faith. As Paul said, our faith would be useless. The gospel would be altogether powerless. And our sins would remain unforgiven. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 14 through 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 14 through 19. It says there, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ not be raised, our faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. There we can see I believe that the message of the resurrection is the most important message that can ever be preached. It's amazing that Christ was born of a Virgin Mary, but if Christ would have never raised from the dead, what would that birth have? It would have no valid, right? Or it wouldn't be valid. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe in that risen Savior? Yep. Amen. Amen. I just want to look a little bit at the account of Lazarus yet. Let's go to John chapter 11. Verse 25 through 27. John chapter 11, 25 through 27 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. In the account of Lazarus, Jesus says that he is the resurrection and the life. And in that statement claimed to be the source of both. There is no resurrection apart from Christ, no eternal life. Jesus does more than give life. He is life. And that's why death has no power over him. Praise God. Death has no power over him because he is life. There is no life beyond Christ. In conclusion, I would like to read one more verse for us today, and that's out of Romans 8, verse 11. This has been a verse that has been with me probably shortly after, or was it even in rehab, where I got introduced to this verse, and it's a very powerful verse. It says, But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Very beautiful verse. Are you struggling with being defeated this morning? Why I say that is this is the key verse to overcome. I think a lot of times we underestimate the power of God, the power of his resurrection in our life. But if we cling to this and truly believe it, God can help us to be overcomers. Just imagine that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we as Christians have it today to live in victory, to live a joyful life, to not always be miserable. We can live in the power of God. We can be joyful even though there's storms around us. There is so much in this message that I haven't even covered. But may we take that home with us today. If we truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have tremendous powers, brothers and sisters. We have the power of God within us to be overcomers, to be witnesses for him. Here on earth, until he comes, or until we pass into eternity. And I'm just so grateful today for the salvation of Jesus Christ in my life and for brothers and sisters to help me walk in that narrow way like you are. So may God receive all honor and glory through whatever has been taught here today, even through song, Sunday school, the opening. John, you did very well in the opening. You probably, sometimes people say you do well, but you're shaken inside, right? But it's good. It's a blessing to be able to serve in the kingdom of God. And where you are weak, God can give you strength. That's the beauty of it. It's not our own strength to be able to share. But it's a tremendous, it's an honor to be able to share with you the words of Christ. Let's just pray yet, and then we'll be dismissed. Father God, thank you for your Son. Lord, it was your only Son. I cannot even imagine, God, having my own Son and putting him on an altar. So, Father, I just pray that this would truly penetrate in our hearts, that we serve a living Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being obedient unto death, the death of the cross. And you said you counted it all joy because you love us so much, that we could be reunited with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that you would work in all of our hearts, purify us, God, that we could become more like you. And if there is hearts here this morning that are kicking against your word and your drawing, Lord, I just pray that you would soften their hearts, that they would sense your love, your mercy, and your grace upon them. And Father, I pray that you would encourage each believer here this morning as well, that we could just press on toward higher ground because we love you, and most of all that you loved us first. So, Father, I just pray that you would receive all honor and glory through the lives that we live in Christ Jesus. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.